Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hey there, folks. I'm just so glad to invite you back to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford. I'm the pastor of Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith Christian church in Sacramento, California, also the host of the program. And I'm so blessed to be able to welcome all kinds of guests to talk about, well, what in the world is Ancient Future Christian Faith and what's happening in their lives and ministry and so on. You've become accustomed to that, haven't you, on this program? We at least try to do something like that every single week. We also occasionally bring you a sermon from Epiclesis so you can see what that feels like, because we'd love to have you join us sometime. Find all the information about Epiclesis, the church, at epiclesis.org. That's Epiclesis.org. I got to tell you, I'm excited today. I've had not one but two people in the studio today. It's Diane and Glenn Collard. Glenn and I recorded an interview a few minutes ago, and now Diane is in the studio with me recording. Diane, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Oh, it is so good to be back. Thanks, Chris.
Well, we just love it when you guys blow through town, and we love the long association. We love what you and Glenn are doing in ministry and missions. And Diane, maybe the way to start is just to tell us a little something about you. Bring us up to date. Folks listening to the program might not have heard any interviews with you before, and tell us a little something, would you? And then we'll talk about what God's doing lately in your life.
My husband and I have been in Christian work since our marriage 56 years ago.
Wow.
And 35 years ago, God clearly picked us up, took us out of the pastorate, and put us in an international cross-cultural ministry, and we've been there ever since. I personally had an encounter with God that gave me a calling to find and encourage artists. And for almost 29 years, I have been on that journey.
Well, we should say, folks, that part of that story is an incredible story of redemption and reconciliation and forgiveness. Diane has a wonderful book called I Choose to Forgive. And I don't want to forget, Diane, to tell people how they can get a copy of that. But in that story is the genesis, is the place where God reached down and said, Diane, I have a mission for you. And it involves the arts. Would you have ever thought that the arts was where you were going to end up splashing around in that particular pool?
Not at all. But God, in his sovereignty, during the time of when I was in my deepest despair and grief from the murder of our son, our eldest son, he picked me up. He spoke of himself as the original abstract artist, said that if I trusted him, he'd put together all those broken pieces of my heart, my soul, and make something beautiful. And before I left that site, that gallery, he said, Diane, I have a new work for you, a new calling. I want you to find and encourage artists. Well, I didn't know any artists. I didn't know why they needed to be encouraged, and I certainly didn't know how to do it. So I began going around Europe in every conference, just timidly saying, are there any artists here? And when they would acknowledge that, I didn't know what to do with them. So right. I just listened to their story.
Oh, wow.
I listened. And over time, God broke my heart, because even though visual art and music and other forms of art had been part of the Christian faith from the catacombs.
Yes.
At the beginning, the first century, in so many ways, at least the Protestant church over time, many of them had lost that vision. And the Christian artist, the artist of faith, felt ignored, not embraced, not taught how to use their art to the glory of God.
And sometimes even ostracized.
And ostracized, alienated.
Yeah.
And it was the church that did this. So I ultimately did my doctoral dissertation on looking at the cultural history and reason that now, in this century, the Protestant church in Europe had alienated their artists. And it was a fascinating study, and it has continued to give the foundation for what I do.
Mm-hmm.
But I ended that study very negatively, very discouraged, very not seeing what was happening. But I didn't know that God was at work quickening the arts and faith movement.
Wow.
And around the world, artists are learning how to use their art to the glory of God.
Yeah.
Churches are re-embracing, needing to be taught how. But they're doing it, they're willing, and we're seeing churches formed because artists gather. We're seeing just an amazing change in the last 20 years, praise God. So yeah. it's a joy to continue in this ministry, and God hasn't released me from it yet.
Diane, I sometimes say that God's big story needs 1,000,000 colors to
yes.
paint. And isn't it sad that so many times in the church we limit ourselves to, what, teal?
Yeah,
and we limit our musical choices and we limit our artistic choices. And my goodness gracious, I'm excited about this blooming, this movement, international, yes?
Yes.
And you are serving in a international capacity these days. Tell us just a little bit about that, because that's going to pique the interest of some people who are listening to this, I'm certain.
I have two ways that I am serving in this. Number one is I am the Europe Ministries Director of Artist in Christian Testimony International.
Okay, say that one more time so folks can grab hold of that.
Artists in Christian Testimony International.
Yeah.
ACT International.
And by the way, we have friends that we come across now and then, right? Across the pond.
We sure do.
That know us and have that connection. Yeah. What does Artist and Christian Testimony International do, Diane?
It was the first and for many, many years, the only mission ministry agency that only accepted artists, creative people serving God in a missional way, whether in the U.S. and Canada or now around the world. Encouraging. We have every form of the arts who are seeking to serve God, build relationships, and do ministry because of their creative gift.
You said that there were two ways that you're serving. Let's get to that second one after I remind people that they're listening to a program called Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford, and I'm the blessed guy who gets to be the pastor of Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith Christian church in Sacramento. Listen, it's a worship experience like you've never seen before. And as you will attest, Diane, it's pretty special, isn't it?
It is very special. I look forward to being a part of that congregation anytime we're on the West Coast.
Well, you're always welcome. Folks, we'd love to have you come worship with us, too. You can find all the information at epiclesis.org. That's E-P-I-C, epic, and L-E-S-I-S, lesis, epiclesis. It's a Greek word that means a transforming prayer. You can find information at epiclesis.org. My guest today, Diane Collard, and we're talking about two main ways that you are ministering in the arts community, to artists, with artists, and for the purpose of using art to glorify God. The first one was you being the Europe Director of Artist and Christian Testimony International, which I'm sure keeps you very, very busy, but you're also doing ministry where the rubber meets the road, right? Locally there in Charlotte.
Yes, I believe we're to serve God where he puts us. Mm. And even though we don't understand exactly why God brought us back to live in Charlotte rather than in Europe, he did. And so 6 years ago, I formed with a team of people what was called Arts Charlotte, an organization that sought to nurture the soul of the city through the arts.
Mm.
Now I am focusing, starting this fall, on a very, very personal journey of Meraki connection.
Meraki.
Meraki.
Spell that for us, Diane.
M-E-R-A-K-I.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Is a modern Greek word that means to do something with creativity, with love, with leaving part of yourself in what you have done.
Oh, wow.
And the focus of Meraki Connections will be for me to nurture the souls of the artists in
individual artists.
Mm. And to serve, to help teaching in churches to help them understand how to embrace art, both in their worship services so that people can have a full being expression of worship and praise.
Amen.
But also how to encourage and bless, and I think commission their creative, gifted people to serve in the world.
You're uniquely wired and programmed to do that, most especially through the formational aspect of this deep tragedy that sort of sparked you on this journey. But you said something a minute ago that this word Meraki means to leave a piece of you, the essence of God, certainly in the Christian context, but a piece of yourself behind. How are you doing that? I guess you're still learning, right? Because this is a relatively new venture, but how are you thinking about leaving a piece of yourself behind as you're ministering to individual artists?
Well, I think whenever you meet to bless another person, meeting in the for the purpose of walking with them in their spiritual journey, wherever they may be at the moment, walking with them, and my goal is to walk with them one step closer to the Savior. Mm. And that is because my walk with the Lord is so key to me, and I'm so committed to kingdom work. That is leaving part of myself as I journey with them. I also have discussions about the nexus of art and faith. We do it in a coffee shop. They're delightful. There's a lot of aspects to this. I'm bringing together networking people in churches that are creative arts directors and help bringing them together to encourage one another, to share resources. And to me, it's we're going to nurture the soul. We're going to impact our city as artists understand their calling to be artists to the glory of God, whatever their art is, and it will be used of God in a missional way.
Oh, it can't help but be, right?
Right.
In your ministry called Meraki, you're doing one-on-one meetings with artists. You have these casual gatherings you're talking about where you talk about, sounds like pretty weighty things. I'm sure fun things too, but also this business of the nexus of faith and the arts, that's a huge topic on its own. And you're also developing book and Bible studies on God's view of the arts. What is the artist's role in the kingdom of God, etc.? I want to ask you this question because I've been asked it a lot myself. What do you say to the person who says, oh, I'm not an artist. I'm not creative.
Well, I don't think any of us who are made in the image of God, who is the creator, have the right to say that his image did not produce creativity within us.
Oh, you preach, girl.
You know, it could be an, I think I'm creative in the way I set my table for visitors, how I present my food. I seek to bring beauty in any place I am. And that takes creativity. It takes imagination. And so whether you're painting a painting or singing a song or whatever you're doing, just ask God the Creator to help you do it in a creative way and that you might produce beauty in this world.
I notice that one of the things that you're doing at this new ministry venture called Meraki is seminars on forgiveness. We touched on how the notion of forgiveness was very seminal in the beginning of launching you in the direction toward artists. I'm going to just throw this at you. This is maybe coming out of left field, but I have a notion about it. The artistic temperament is something we talk about a lot. And I myself was a professional musician for many years. I was in the artistic world in terms of the symphony world. And I know those people like the back of my hand. And there's just something about the artistic temperament that's real. A lot of us are prone to melancholy or other kinds of things like that. Are you finding with regard to forgiveness that there's a place in artists' heart where they need to hear that particular message?
No question. And to see them struggle with accepting themselves, first of all, and accepting and extending forgiveness to parents who may not have understood, to churches who rejected them. You can't be an artist, especially a visual artist or a performing artist, and not have rejection.
Oh, and a lot of it.
A lot of it. And the resentment builds and builds and becomes the driving force in your life. And God wants us free of that. He wants us to forgive. He wants us to allow the Holy Spirit to bring freedom. And then we can exercise our creativity.
Best, right? Yeah, after having walked through that.
The fourth reason I found in doing my dissertation research that the church had rejected artists.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that.
Well, number one was a theological. Number two was traditional. They'd never done it before.
Ain't done it that way
before.
Number
three was an honest, I have no clue how to do it. Mm-hmm. But number four was that artists are problematic people.
Can be, sure.
And so...
Some of us are really quirky.
Yes, but it's exciting to me to help an artist discern how much of that is temperament, how much of it is accepting a persona of being an artist that allows for that.
Yeah, playing a role.
Yeah, playing a role. And how much is, at times, a selfish, ungodly response. I mean, it can be all of those.
Right.
And so to help them discern what it is, and also, you know, I've been married to a pastor for a long time. They can be very problematic, too.
Oh, yeah. Some of us are quirky.
Yeah. So to help pastors understand that artistic temperament, help them understand the value of learning to work with these people.
I got to ask you, I can imagine that when an artist hears you talk about these things and you present what is, folks, you don't know Diane, but such a loving heart. They go, oh, somebody who gets me. But I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that I suspect that more often than not, when you try to talk to pastors about how best to incorporate the artistic person in, say, worship or some other aspect of church life, I'll bet you come up against a hard wall there sometimes.
I do. And, you know, that's why I want to do these seminars in the churches to help them understand God's purpose for the arts. And that for us to ignore the creative, expressive arts in our worship is to cut off a large part of what God intends
Absolutely.
Worship to be.
Yes.
And I realized that I grew up in my fundamentalist church with a visual anorexia. Nothing visual was allowed.
No.
Mm-mm. And then I realized...
Even considered in some ways evil or to be
absolutely.
Avoided.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And when the Lord has given me opportunity to worship in other, as my husband talks about, streams of the church, and I realize how valuable their visual art, whether they be icons or whatever they are, they're not worshiped. They are part of a window into the soul, the creative soul,
yeah.
A window into heaven, and to help pastors understand that. I have more, I guess you want to say, luck with those people assigned to be or called to be the creative arts pastor.
Sure, yeah.
Those people are looking for, how do I do this? I don't have all the answers, but I bring them together to share, to network together, and to share both problems and solutions of how to make this in any church. It's not a song and dance kind of
no,
thing.
No, not show and tell.
No. It is expressing in every emotion, every part of our being, worship to God. And that includes visual, that includes movement, it includes drama, it includes music, it includes all of them to the glory of God.
Oh, and you know what? That's going to be what worship in the future new heavens and new earth is going to be all.
Absolutely.
So we ought to get to practicing now, yeah. Diane, one more thing to pick your brains about before our time gets away from us. And it always goes so fast when I talk with you. You said earlier on in our conversation, God had a word for you that very lonely day in Vienna when you were in a art gallery trying to deal with unspeakable sorrow.
Yes.
And he said something to the effect of, Diane, I'm the original abstract artist. What does he mean by that? What lesson can we take away from that really, in some ways, provocative statement?
Well, you need to understand, I was at the time trying to get out of a snowstorm, and I was in
an actual
yeah. snowstorm in Vienna, because I was walking the lanes of Vienna just crying out to God. And do I want to go on living? Can I go on living? And I in this gallery, and I had been taught that modern abstract art was evil, godless, no Christian should be a part of it. And I found myself in this gallery with nothing but paintings of line, color, design, texture, space, and almost feeling guilty, praying to God, where are you? How can I find you here? And that is when he very clearly spoke my name first in my heart, Diane. I am the original abstract artist. Everything in creation came from my imagination. I did not copy anything. It is all imaginative, creative art. And so when you look at something in nature and it is so beautiful, it is God's abstract creation in art. But then to tell me that these broken pieces, I felt shattered that day. And he said, I can take all those shattered pieces and creatively, abstractly make something beautiful if I trusted him. And that's what he has done. He has put together my life. He's given me a new calling. And to the glory of God, I now worship my creative, imaginative creator God, who is an original abstract artist.
Folks, what an amazing story. What an amazing lesson for you. Are you an artist? Are you creative? Yes, we all are, because we've been created in the very image of our creative God. And you may feel like you want to talk to somebody about how you can use your creative gifts for the glory of God. I'm going to encourage you to reach out to me, reach out to Diane. And the rest of us who might not feel like we're creative, start looking for the wonderful ways that God's creative kingdom is breaking through all around you every day. Diane, if folks want to learn a little bit more about your new ministry opportunity called Meraki, or get in touch with you or support your ministry, or as I mentioned before, to get a hold of this amazing book called I Choose to Forgive, how would they do that?
My website is Montage, M-O-N-T-A-G-E, international.org.
Montage, M-O-N-T-A-G-E, international.org, O-R-G.
And that has a page for the book that will tell how to find it. It's also on Amazon, or you can order it from any bookstore, but make sure you get the expanded edition.
Yeah, when did that come out, by the way?
It came out 3 years ago.
Okay, so it's going to say 2019, something like that. So, the expanded edition of I Choose to Forgive by Diane Collard.
It has a blue cover of a bird escaping from a cage. And with that, it has not only my story of forgiveness, but my husband's story of forgiveness from anger and desire to take revenge. My daughter's story from being with PTSD after Tim's murder and coming to, because of forgiveness, coming back to health. And it has the murderer's story of coming to faith in Jesus Christ.
Amazing.
And finding forgiveness.
Oh, mercy. What a story. What an amazing life. You are amazing, my friend. I'm so grateful. Diane Collard, thank you again for carving out the time to be with us. I'm grateful.
It is my delight. Thank you.
Folks, until we gather again for another episode of Ancient Future Faith, I want you to think about this. Surely, the road to our Christian future does run through our ancient Christian past. Until next time, the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church. And they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hi folks, it's Pastor Chris with one more word before we sign off. The long season after Pentecost is the perfect time to experience worship at Epiclesis, or maybe jump into a small group. There's always something happening at Epiclesis, and we'd love to have you be a part of it. Think about joining us for worship this summer. You'll be warmly welcome. As always, find more information on the web at epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you, and see you next Monday afternoon at 4 p.m. for another edition of Ancient Future Faith.